Let's now read Lord's Day 28 of the Heidelberg Catechism. First, Lord's Day about the Lord's Supper, page 540 of the Book of Praise. In Lord's Day 28, there we read how the Church summarizes from God's Word and how she confesses about the Lord's Supper. How does the Lord's Supper signify and seal to you that you share in Christ's one sacrifice on the cross and in all his gifts? In this way, Christ has commanded me and all believers to eat of this broken bread and drink of this cup in remembrance of him. With this command, he gave these promises. First, as surely as I see with my eyes the bread of the Lord broken for me and the cup given to me, so surely was his body offered for me and his blood poured out for me on the cross. Second, as surely as I receive from the hand of the minister and taste with my mouth the bread and the cup of the Lord, as sure signs of Christ's body and blood, so surely does he himself nourish and refresh my soul to everlasting life with his crucified body and shed blood. What does it mean to eat the crucified body of Christ and to drink his shed blood? First, to accept with a believing heart all the suffering and the death of Christ, and so receive forgiveness of sins and life eternal. Second, to be united more and more to his sacred body through the Holy Spirit, who lives both in Christ and in us. Therefore, although Christ is in heaven and we are on earth, yet we are flesh of his flesh and bone of his bones, and we forever live and are governed by one Spirit, as the members of our body are by one soul. Where has Christ promised that he will nourish and refresh believers with his body and blood as surely as they eat of his broken bread and drink of his cup? In the institution of the Lord's Supper, the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." This promise is repeated by Paul where he says, "Is not the cup of thanksgiving, for which he gives thanks, a participation in the blood of Christ? And is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body. For we all partake of the one loaf." Brothers and sisters, let us sing after the sermon in response to God's word from Psalm 23, all three stanzas. Beloved brothers and sisters, congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ. There was a lot of discussion about the sacraments in the time of the Reformation. There were lots of disagreements between the Roman Catholic doctrine and the Reformed doctrine about the sacraments. And that's what we see in the Heidelberg Catechism. We have one Lord's Day, 25, about word and sacraments in general, two Lord's Days about baptism, three Lord's Days, even about the Lord's Supper. It was indeed about the Lord's Supper that there was the most difference, most disagreements. Nowadays, we don't have that many contacts with the Roman Catholic Church anymore. But also nowadays, you see that often the disagreements between churches is often about sacraments. There are quite a few controversies going in here in North America about the sacraments. It's always important to have the right view on the sacraments. We know from our recent church history, last century, that baptism was quite an issue. Also, Lord's Supper. How do we see the Lord's Supper? How do we celebrate the Lord's Supper? It often is something that is an issue in discussions in churches. It is through the Word that the Holy Spirit works faith. It is through the sacraments that He strengthens faith. And we call Word and sacraments the means of grace. It is through these means that our faith is worked or being strengthened. So we can expect that Satan directs his attacks mainly on these means of grace. If we see them in the wrong way, then maybe they will not benefit us anymore, Satan thinks. And therefore, also now it is still important, although we do not live in a time of the Reformation anymore, it is still important that we get to know what exactly the sacraments are. And that is how we will listen to the Word of God this afternoon, as it is summarized in Lord's Day 28, and I proclaim it to you under this theme. At the Lord's Supper, we are nourished with Christ, who died, was buried, but who lives. And at this supper, first, we proclaim His death. Second, we remember Him as our Lord. And third, we have communion with Him and His body. At the Lord's Supper, we are nourished with Christ, who died, was buried, but who lives. At this supper, in the first place, we proclaim His death. About the institution of the Lord's Supper, we read in 1 Corinthians 11. This first letter to the Corinthians is one of the first books of the New Testament that was finished, one of the first letters of Paul that was sent, even before the four Gospels. So this is one of the oldest accounts of the institution of the Lord's Supper in the Bible. The Apostle Paul says about what he tells that it is something that he first received from the Lord. He acknowledges that the Lord Himself took care that it was delivered to him and through him to the Corinthians and also to us, and that it was delivered in a way Paul tells it in 1 Corinthians 11. It is the Lord Jesus Himself who instituted the Lord's Supper. It is not a tradition that came into existence during the old history of the Christian Church. No, it is from the beginning one of the two sacraments that were instituted by the Lord of the Church, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. And the Lord's Supper that we celebrate regularly is the same as the Lord's Supper that we celebrated that was celebrated in the old Christian Church almost 20 centuries ago. There may be some differences in the way in which we celebrate it. But in essence, it is the same Holy Supper as it was instituted by the Lord Jesus Christ. The same signs, the same meaning. So we are standing with that in a very long tradition that goes back even to the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. And that unites us with the Church of all times and all places, the Church all over the world. The Apostle Paul says about the celebration of the Lord's Supper that it is a proclamation of the Lord's death. We celebrate the Lord's Supper, and with that we also celebrate the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, how can we celebrate a death? We can remember it. We can remember a person, a very special person. You can remember every year his or her death. We can even remember his or her heroic deeds, as we may do on Remembrance Day. But we don't celebrate the death of a person. Maybe in very special situations you can celebrate the death of an enemy, but not of a loved one. But about the Lord Jesus, we do say that we celebrate His Holy Supper. The Lord's Supper is a remembrance of His death, and we celebrate this remembrance. And we celebrate it until He comes. Now, these words, until He comes, these explain why we can celebrate His death. That is because He died, but He did not remain dead. He rose again from the dead. And He is alive now. He is the Lord who conquered death. He rose from the grave and ascended into heaven. And from there He governs His Christian church. And from heaven He sends His Spirit to this earth, to His church. And the Spirit now dwells in us, in His church, His congregation. And now He is working towards the day of His return. And the celebration of the Lord's Supper is the proclamation of His death. But it is the death of the Lord who conquered death, who rose from the dead. He who died was buried, but who lives. We celebrate his death because Christ obtained for us, through his suffering and death, forgiveness of sins and everlasting life. He sacrificed his body for me on the cross and poured out his blood for me, for me, for you, for each of us, everyone who believes. We proclaim in the Lord's Supper the death of our Lord Jesus Christ, but in the meantime it is the death of him who conquered death and rose from the dead, the one who is alive. And by his resurrection he can make us share in what he obtained for us through his death, that is, the righteousness. And as the Lord who rose from the dead, he is now with us through his Holy Spirit. That means that we have the Spirit of him who conquered death, the Spirit of him who was raised to a new life. So through his Spirit, we will live with him, and we will never die. We have eternal life through him and through his Spirit. The Spirit unites us with Christ so that we are part of him in his death, but also in his resurrection. Paul mentions that in a very well-known text in Romans 6, where we read that we were buried with Christ in his, by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in the newness of life. We are united with him in his death, so that we die to sin, and we are united with him in his resurrection, so that we also receive a new life. And through the bread and wine at the table of the Lord, we are assured that we are really nourished with his body and blood. And it means that we receive forgiveness of sins and everlasting life. Christ himself, his body and blood, is the guarantee for our eternal life. Because the bread is his body and the wine is his blood. Bread and wine are signs of his body and blood. But in the meantime, when we eat the bread and drink the wine, we partake of the body and blood of Christ. And as certain as his body is sacrificed and his blood is poured out, so certain do we have the forgiveness of sins. But also as certain as he in his body, his new and perfect body, rose from the dead, so certain are we united with him. And we also are being raised from the dead. It was in his great and endless love that he gave himself as a sacrifice on the cross into death. He gave his own life into eternal death. What more could he give? That was the most he could ever give. And it is in his love for us. It is his love for us which we proclaim in the celebration of the Lord's Supper. His love in which he gave himself over into eternal death. That is the great news that we proclaim at the celebration of the Lord's Supper. And God wants this to be proclaimed time and again. His great deeds, his endless mercy, it has to be proclaimed to the ends of the earth. And the celebration of the Lord's Supper is one of the ways in which we proclaim it. Because celebrating the Lord's Supper is an act of professing your faith. And during the reading of the form for the celebration of the Lord's Supper, we say or sing the Apostles' Creed, and that is a profession of faith. And we have a rule in our churches that you must profess your faith when you want to celebrate the Lord's Supper. Because at the Lord's Supper, you accept in faith the body and the blood of the Lord. And that's also the reason that young people first have to come to public profession of faith before they are admitted to the table of the Lord. And anyone who comes from outside has to make public profession of the Reformed faith. Because you must know what it means to partake of the body and blood of the Lord. And if you really understand what it means to celebrate the Lord's Supper, then it will never become a mere custom. If you really understand what it means, then we will every time again be full of thankfulness. And when we are full of thankfulness, then we are also encouraged at the table of the Lord to share our joy and thankfulness with others, to proclaim to each other God's great deeds. and to proclaim also to those who did not make public profession of faith yet, and also to those who live in the world around us, the thankfulness and joy which we have during the celebration of the Lord's Supper does not disappear as soon as we leave the table or as soon as we leave the church, but it becomes an important part of our lives. The peace of Christ, which rules over us, which we receive at the Lord's Supper table, it will be visible in our lives so that others who don't believe can see that we are different from them, that we have a joy and that we have a hope which they cannot understand because they don't know Christ yet, and that brings them to questions that makes them want to know more about it. And in the second place, we see that at the supper, the Lord's Supper, we remember Christ as our Lord. The Lord Jesus commanded us to celebrate his supper in remembrance of him. And every time when we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we remember him. But the Lord's Supper, with that, is not a memory of a time long ago that is gone and over now. No, we remember the Lord Jesus who died and was buried, but also the Lord who lives now. And from what we know about what he did in the past, we also know him in the present. Oh yes, his death and his burial, it happened almost 20 centuries ago, and that is something that does not have to happen again. Like the Roman Catholic Church says, that the sacrifice of Christ is repeated every time when a priest administers the Mass. No, that's not true. That happened once and for good. But through what he did for us, his sacrifice on the cross, his suffering, his death, and it all for us, through that we get to know him. We know how he is and what he did for us. We learn how great and endless his love for us was and is. But not only then at Golgotha, but also now. We know how he is now. He is still the same Lord. He comes to us in the Lord's Supper. And he shows us time and again, every time when we celebrate his supper, he shows us his enormous love for us, which he also showed at the cross. And that love comes to us in the celebration of the Lord's Supper. The Bible tells us about God's mighty deeds from Genesis to Revelation. And that the Bible does so is not just to tell us about what happened to Israel, or it is not just to tell us his commandments and tell us how we should live. No, the whole Bible is in the first place given to us to tell us about God's love for us. God tells us in the Bible, look at this. This is what I did in the past. Look and see what I did for my people. Look and remember that I am still the same God. He who is and who was and who is to come, from the beginning of creation and even before that, until the very end of the age and beyond that, he will always be the same God. He will never change. He, the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the greatest work which he did for us was the coming of Jesus Christ, his Son. Jesus Christ, who was also true God. God's Son became man, and he took away our sins and took them upon himself. He bore the wrath of God, his own Father, over our sins, and freed us from that wrath. He delivered us from the power of sin and Satan and died in our place. He did it for us while we were still enemies. Oh, the Bible is so full of his love for us. And the Lord's Supper is a remembrance of the great deeds in which he revealed himself to us, and which we have in the Bible, the revelation of his love. There at Golgotha, during those terrible hours of his suffering and death, those terrible 3 hours when he was forsaken by God, his own Father, Christ wants us to remember him. Not just what happened there on Golgotha, not just that most important event in the history of the whole world, but to remember him as the one who suffered and died there, but who is alive now, and who wants to be our Lord now, and who wants us to love him. Him who first loved us with his enormous and endless love, and whose love didn't change and is still the same, whose love will always be the same. Let us then remember him and love him. Love him who first loved us so much and who still loves us. He wants us not just to look back at what he did, but he also wants us to look forward to his coming on the clouds of heaven. Then we will be united with him. When we know who he is and how he is, then we will also recognize him when he comes. Then we don't fear him at his coming, and then we don't want to hide from him, as so many in this world will want to do, but then we rejoice at his coming. And we go out to meet him and to welcome him, our beloved Lord and Savior, on this earth. And then our love for him will reach its perfection, because he will make it perfect. But as long as he does not come back yet, he wants us to celebrate his supper, to keep our love for him alive. The Lord's Supper is a remembrance, but also an expectation of his coming. And in the third place, we see that at this supper we have communion with him and his body. The Lord wants us to realize that the celebration of the Lord's Supper is something that we do together with his congregation. We belong to his body. He unites us with him. We are part of his body. And his body, that is the church. He is the head. We are his members. And as members, we can't miss the other members. Together, we are the church of Christ. And therefore, we celebrate the Lord's Supper. In our time, having supper together, it is still an expression of having communion. When you go out together for a meal, then you just want to be together because you have things to discuss together. But in the time when the Lord instituted the Lord's Supper, it was even more an expression of communion. They reclined at a table, and it took quite a long time to have dinner together. It was a time of talking, a time of meeting together, a time of discussing a lot of things. Especially then, you had time for each other. Having supper was quite the social event in Israel. And that is the reason why the Lord instituted the Lord's Supper. Not as something that only takes a few minutes, but something that reminds us of that having communion with each other at the supper table. The table of the Lord symbolizes the communion of all those who believe in the same Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We have communion with him at his table. But we also have communion with each other, because we are all seated at his table. We all partake one holy food, that is the body of Christ, symbolized by the bread. And we all drink the blood of Christ, symbolized by the wine. And when we eat the bread and drink from the cup, then it is impossible that we don't want to have communion with each other. When Christ unites us all in his body, then we can't remain standing apart from the body. As the Apostle Paul then also will explain in 1 Corinthians 12, the chapter that follows the chapter we read, 1 Corinthians 11. Celebrating the Lord's Supper also has an obligation with it. The obligation to look after each other, to have communion with each other, to help each other, to share our gifts with each other. We are responsible for each other. And the communion of saints, as the Heidelberg Catechism speaks about in Lordship 21, is strongly connected to the communion which we celebrate at the table of the Lord. The communion of saints is part of that communion at the table of the Lord. Because the communion of saints means that believers, all and everyone, as members of Christ, have communion with him and share in all his treasures and gifts. It also means that everyone is duty-bound to use his gifts readily and cheerfully for the benefit and well-being of the other members. So who celebrates Lord's Supper, but who does not feel responsible for his fellow believers at the same table or in the same church, does not really belong to the body of Christ. And the Apostle Paul is very clear in 1 Corinthians 11. The way in which the Corinthians celebrated the Lord's Supper there in Corinth was not good. They didn't look after each other. They didn't care for each other. If only they got what they wanted. Some were drunk, others were still hungry. But then Paul says, when you come together, that is not the Lord's Supper that you eat. There was no communion at all. And if there is no communion, then there is no communion with Christ either. And he who doesn't recognize the body, who doesn't recognize his brothers and sisters as the body of the Lord, he eats and drinks judgment on himself. And therefore Paul says, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, celebrating the Lord's Supper. We do it 4, 5, 6 times a year. But let it have its influence in our entire life. Not only those times that we celebrate the Lord's Supper, but every day of our lives as congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is not just those times that we celebrate that we have communion with each other and with the Lord. It is in our entire life that we live in communion with Christ and with each other. And the Lord's Supper is meant to remind us of that. The Lord's Supper is a sign and a seal of that, the communion with Christ in which we receive forgiveness of sins and eternal life. But it is something that has to happen our entire life. And let us love him every day again and proclaim his death every day again and look forward to his coming every day. And then we may know that he leads us. He is our shepherd. Then we may be sure of his love. We don't have any want, but we will get all that we need because Christ gives us all that we need. And we may look forward to the day on which he spreads his bounteous table before me in his kingdom, at the day when he returns on the clouds of heaven. Then we will not celebrate anymore the Lord's Supper, but then we will celebrate forever the wedding feast of the Lamb. Amen.